happy Sabbath, everybody. I hope you guys are having a fantastic day and have had a fantastic couple of weeks. It's just been very hectic, but I have been trying to indulge myself in a lot of these horror films and being able to get them ready and record them for you. So it's just going to be what I have. And I hope you guys are enjoying this. It's kind of frustrating to me trying to find a good rhythm for you guys to make it fun and exciting, but also to do something that I enjoy. And you know what? I just enjoy it. And I enjoy talking about any and all types of movies. And being horror films, I just love the rush that you get sometimes with horror films, that thriller, the what's going to happen kind of sense. And so that's just kind of what led me to talk about this week, Coraline. And I know I'm not following the schedule that I have. I'm going to try to rewire it. I'm going to be looking at newer films sooner and just trying to grasp a little bit of that. But this past couple of weeks, I had the opportunity to show this movie to my daughters. And it wasn't until I watched it with my daughters that I realized this is not really a family movie. It should be like a teen horror, right? The concept of everything that was there, the cinematography, the horror, suspense, thriller features that it had on it really could freak out any kid. And luckily, I have kind of done my best to desensitize my kids, not in a way of I want them just to be cautious. But when it comes to movies, I have made sure to tell them, like, hey, this isn't real. These are the things. I kind of explained to them just exactly what it is. And they luckily had a lot of questions regarding it, which had me realize, like, yeah, this movie, for being 2009, was still pretty creepy. But before I go on with that, let me hit my theme song, and then we will continue. So yeah, so let's start off with this. This movie, Coraline, claymation. I love claymation, and this director himself has directed. He was the one who did Nightmare Before Christmas and James and the Giant Peach. So this director has a good foot in with claymation and just making everything look phenomenal. Like, don't get me wrong, this movie has really great scenes and really great cinematography and just how it all works out. But with, like, Nightmare Before Christmas, we were introduced to Halloween Town. So we knew before anything that, okay, this was going to be a little bit kind of spooky because we're in Halloween, the Pumpkin King, you know, you have all the other, you know, vampires, the boogeyman, all that stuff. Like, you're looking at that, but they made it in a playful way. Like, they're wanting to, you know, like, Jack the Skeleton King or the Pumpkin King is getting kind of tired of the same routine, and then he wants to, you know, take over a different holiday. So you kind of get, like, a different mix under it. James and the Giant Peach kind of almost, it's not the same, but it has a kind of way around it. But this one was labeled as a family sci-fi movie, and I honestly thought this is actually more like a kid horror film. Like, everything that started the movie off just made everything have that vibe of very, like, eerie. You know, like, for example, you know, we get it. Coraline moved with her family to this place, and I believe they moved there, not sure, because of money issues. They really don't talk about it. They just said that they moved there and that the dad was working on something big, which was a book that they had about gardening. So you see that the parents, both of them, I'm guessing, looking at how the conversation was, the mom is the editor and the dad is the writer. So you have dad who's writing this book, being pushed by mom who has to edit it, who's then also being pushed by, I'm guessing, her boss. And so you have these two workaholic parents who, for some reason, move everybody out to this remote little area where they are then introduced to this very old house that has a pretty big secret that most nobody knows about other than, you know, Wiley. And then, since Coraline's hating all this, she's like, I can't do this, finds a key, finds this hidden door, and that hidden door ends up opening to another, you know, another world, right? And as she goes into the world, she sees her doppelganger mom and doppelganger dad. But now the difference between this, them, and her real parents is that they have buttons for eyes. Which my daughter was like, oh, why do they have buttons in their eyes? Why would she believe that that's her parents, you know? Why would she be okay with that? And I'm like, 100% perfect question to ask in a certain scenario. Like, I don't know why she was just like, oh, okay, cool. Like, thank you for feeding me. And, like, I get her situation wasn't good, but the fact that you're seeing your parents but with buttons in their eyes and you're just like, well, at least I'm getting what I couldn't get on the other side, right? That's where I'm just like, and she was old enough to understand, like, hey, they have to work, they got a couple deadlines, you know, like they got things that they got to do to maintain the family. So anyway, she looked for an out to, I don't know, whatevs. She just wanted to look for an out, and she became the victim of this whatever beast or spider or creature lived in this other world. So as it all unravels, right, you see her keep going back because she loved the feeling that was there, the everything that was happening. Somehow that world ended up doppelganging everybody that lived in the vicinity. And yet she still was just like, wow, this is great. And I still was just like watching this with my kids. I was like, how would she be okay with this? You know, like the two old ladies in the other world do, you know, awesome tricks and awesome, you know, like an awesome show. And then they unzip to be like super skinnier. And yet she's like, wow, still like very, very crazy, actually. And then, you know, you get the mice who are very suspicious. You know, so you get this other area that's just not looking good. And yet she's taking it all right. She ends up always like waking up back to the real world and just not enjoying it because they're trying to get stuff done, right? And honestly, this happens like within like 2 or 3 days. I don't know how the time set really worked. They moved. Within that move, they honestly, like, she found the key the following day. They were heading to the store. The dad was, you know, had the book ready and was heading toward, you know, like, gonna get it either edited or approved, not approved, but, like, you know, like, yeah, edited. So they were just going there. And then all of a sudden, she goes back to the world, gets a little bit of another show, like, 2 days. And then she gets the other mother gives her like the proposition of like, well, if you really enjoy this, you know, come live with us, but you have to give us your eyes or give me your eyes, because obviously it wasn't an us kind of a thing. It was just more her. And that's when she was like, whoa, I'm not going to do that. And she even thought about it until then. The other lady kind of just went against her and then threw her into this mirror. And then we end up finding out that she's killed and or harvested these other kids, right? Which ended up being like ghosts of the past of her killers, right? Or her victims, right? So I had to explain that to my girls because they're like, well, who are those? I'm like, well, she killed them. You know, they were the ones who went to the world before, decided to get their eyes pulled out. And then now their spirit lives there. So now she has to get their eye or the ball to get them all safe. And, or like free their spirit to go with, you know, God. Or just free their spirit from wherever it's trapped. And so they end up that, you know, that ends up being the one thing there. The cool part about it was, again, like, the sequences they had, the colors and everything was really cool. But when it came to, like, looking at it in a kid view, I felt like, man, yeah, there was a lot of things that were very pretty, like, freaky. Especially when the other mother, like, finally just had it and then, like, stretched into, like, whatever feature, whatever, like, whatever spider creature thing it was, right? That part was, like, holy shit. You know, like, whoa, calm down, lady. Like, you know, like, wow. And, like, it didn't scare me because I've seen it before. I saw it in 2009, and I even back then was like, this is some weird ass shit. Like, it was, for me, I even thought it was crazy. But when it came to this other, like, this other occasion, watching it with my kids, I was just like, wow, like, that is very disturbing. And especially to call it a family movie, like, I wouldn't, well, I'm not going to say I wouldn't show my kids this because I obviously did. but, like, I just wouldn't, if they were very sensitive to these type of things, I wouldn't show it. But obviously with my kids, I've gotten them used to a little bit of horror because I enjoy it. And there's times that they come and see what I'm looking at and I have to kind of tell them, like, it's fake. I don't know if you guys remember this or if you've heard this before, but, like, when I was recording it, and I believe it was It Chapter 1, I remember I was watching it and I was just kind of recording and talking about the movie. It was at the times that I was actually watching the movies and recording at the same time, so we were kind of doing like a whole viewing of my commentary. And I remember as I was recording and watching the movie, I would look over and glimpse, and right before the It the Clown or Pennywise the Clown pops up to grab Georgie's hand, I paused it and I looked over and I saw that my daughter, who was supposed to be asleep, wasn't asleep, and she had creeped downstairs, or crept, I don't know how you say it, whoever wants to let me know, but she came downstairs quietly and stood in the corner where I couldn't see her clearly because I was facing, obviously, the TV. I was facing away from the stairs. I couldn't see her clearly, and so she was just watching to see what I was doing. You know, she was very fascinated that I was talking while the movie was going on and kind of giving all this synopsis. If I hadn't had that feeling of, hey, look around you, and not to be like, oh, there's someone watching you, like, ooh, just more like, it was just like a feeling like, hey, you should pause because something is going to happen and it could scar someone around you. And when I looked over and I saw her, I was like, oh, thank goodness, right? And I, you know, she asked me, like, what happens? Does he get his arm chopped off? And I don't know, like, yeah, he ends up killing the kid. And I'm like, but I don't want you to see that. This is, you know, this is my movie. I don't want you to be frightened. I'm like, this, you know, and I kind of explained to her what the creature itself, it was, or Pennywise was. And so she's like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, well, and then I, you know, took her to bed and all that stuff. So I made sure, you know, I do make sure not to get her, or get at least my oldest and both of my kids. I make sure not to get them into, like, the, like, deepest of the darkest of horrors yet, right? Once it's like once they get like 13 and there's PG-13 movies, or there's, you know, like, once they're at 17, or once they're like, dad, I can take you, let's watch some like very freaky ones, Conjuring or whatever, we'll totally watch them. But I'm slowly getting them there because I love horror films, and I want them to know it's not about the realities of it. It's just like how they create the feeling of it. And so back to this movie, that's just exactly how it was, you know. And this isn't the first claymation movie I've watched with them. They love Nightmare Before Christmas. I've never watched James and the Giant Peach with them, but we watched, like, the Trolls one. We also watched which one is this one of my favorites, The Corpse Bride. There we go. And so we've watched all these other ones that have like that kind of eerie stuff, but they're not as creepy as this one was, right? Where in the other ones, Trolls, The Corpse Bride, yes, in The Corpse Bride, he marries a dead girl, but it wasn't really like, you know, like there's a moment where everybody started freaking out when all the people were coming back to life. So spoiler alerts if you haven't seen that one, but there's a part that everybody, all the dead people have to come up from the dead, from the world of the dead, right? The whatever. And the realm of the dead. That's what I was looking for. The realm of the dead and go to the wedding, you know, so that way, you know, the main character would drink the poison, die, and then they would officially be married with the corpse bride. And when everybody, like, was freaking out because they were seeing, like, zombies, like, you know, like, dead, the dead have risen. And they were all freaking out. Then all of a sudden, there's one little boy who goes up to one of them and then just looks and then says, like, Grandpa? And he's like, oh. And then everyone's like, hey, it's our family members, you know. Like, it was, like, one of those, like, moments where you're like, wait, what? It was supposed to be scary but really wasn't. So those type of, like, scenarios when it came to those movies is what we kind of enjoyed, and that's why I loved watching it, especially like it's a musical. All the claymation is just amazing, and so I always love, you know, showing my kids movies that are kind of cartoonish or like that we've seen before. And so when it came to this one, I thought no harm on it, and then when I started watching it, I was like, I hope they don't get super freaked out. My little one, I was more focused on her because I was like, man, I got to explain to her a lot that this isn't real, there's not really a spider lady coming out you. We don't have a secret door. Like, our, you know, like, if I'm feel like I'm working because I'm working from home, don't worry. I'm going to have time with you. We're going to play. Like, I had to, like, kind of reassure her not to freak her out the most. But my oldest, it was more like she was just very curious of, like, why would, you know, Coraline believe this other mother with, you know, button eyes? Or why did she take the parents? Why did Coraline have to go back and get the balls? You know, like, so she had all those questions to kind of understand the story, which was fine. All in all, I enjoy this movie. I loved it, but I added it to my episode because I am a true believer that this should be not a family sci-fi movie, but a kid horror, or you could even call it a teen horror, I don't know. But it should be in the same categories as, like, the Goosebumps, right? Like, the Goosebumps, we know, cheesy as f***, but they were, in a way, still kind of eerie and spooky when it came to that stuff. So for me, I think it would just be very good if we kept it in a good genre. So that way when people tend to watch it, because we as millennials love to rewatch things that we really loved and we really enjoyed. Coraline was one that came out in 2009. I was graduating that year. Watched it, still kind of was like, this is kind of weird. This isn't enough. I even remembered when I watched it and I said, this is not a family. Like, this is not for kids. Exactly what I said. Obviously, a couple years later, I showed it to my kids. So, sorry, girls. Sorry about that. But in reality, it at least gave me the opportunity to realize that, yeah, this should be in a category of family. It should be in a different category. So that way you can differentiate, like, do I really want to have them experience some horror setting, or should we just kind of not do that? And so that's exactly what I wanted to discuss this week, because it was the one thing I watched and I said, you know what? Nobody talks about this a lot. And here it is. It may have not been as organized as I normally am on it, but it had to be said. Coraline being what it is, it's a pretty entertaining claymation, and I would recommend it if you want to get your kids into horror. This could be kind of a good starting step, right? That and Goosebumps, and I'll get to those later, but this is a pretty good starting step because you can kind of help them get into what the eeriness of horror really is, the different type of creatures that can be created when it comes to the imagination of horror. So this one, I think it's a really good, like, beginner 101, you know, horror course for kids, right? So if you've seen it and you enjoyed it, awesome. If you also thought this was, like, super creepy, like, don't ever show your kids, like, how dare you show it to your kids, leave me a comment. Be interactive with me. I'm not trying to, like, plead for you guys, but I'm just saying, what did you think about it? And if you really liked it, or if you have other recommendations of what movies I should watch that you're not willing to watch, but hey, your buddy Gio over here will watch it and let you know if it was good or bad, send them over. You can send them to my email at Gio. So it's Gio Saavedra. So GIOSAAVEDRA 19 at gmail.com. And you can say, you can just put potential horror episode and then just let me know. I'm also selling a t-shirt that says Horror Films Thrill Me on Etsy. Just look for Gio's Thoughts. I have all sizes for both men and women. And then if you do want to help out in this podcast in any way, you can always go to my website, geosthoughts.com, click support creator. Honestly, any contribution will help. Like I said, this is a hobby. I love doing this, but I do, donation would be very much appreciated. Well, I hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and see you guys all next week.